Welcome back to episode number 3, Mr. Shimule.
Thanks, Mr. Tima.
Yeah, I want us now to talk about the activities of the moment, your company. What's the name of your company and in which sector is it active?
My company's name is Noko Mabulelo Investments Holdings.
Wow, interesting name. Where is that name coming from?
Noko is my clan name.
Yeah.
The Shimule family.
Yeah.
And Mabulelo is our great grandfather. He's the foundation of who we are. You know, when I look at the family tree up until my father,
yes,
you know, that's the tree that we followed. And he was part of, remember earlier on I mentioned that we have about 10 to 20,000 hectares of land that, you know, we claimed with the community that we lived with, or they lived with, but now it's a legacy they left for us for today, and it's something that one wants to work on to ensure that that land can be productive, you know. But that's something else. So Mabulelo is my great grandfather, great grandfather, and yeah, one of my brothers, you know. As much as all of my brothers, I think, contributed immensely, but this one was opening doors for my bursaries, was opening doors. Even high school, I went to a boarding school because of his initiatives. I mean, my brothers were activists somehow, and one got to benefit from some of the networks in terms of getting bursaries and, you know, even coming to tertiary. They opened my eyes. I arrived and stayed with my brother before I could, you know, move into the university residence and things like that. So also his name is Mabulelo. May his soul rest in peace, because yes, he passed on some few years ago, but that's the attachment to the two. You know, saying that I want to create a legacy for myself, for my family, especially going down the family tree.
And the last part is investment holdings, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the business you do and the sector in which you are in. Investment sounds like a financial sector, but it could be something else.
Yeah, well, we're focusing for now on 3 strategic business units. That now operates in various sectors. To tap into my, you know, as an entrepreneur and an entrepreneur developer, I saw that our entrepreneurs, especially from a disadvantaged background, you know, still need to be assisted in terms of compliance on the accounting side. You find that most of them, in terms of record management, producing financials, management accounts on a monthly basis, and tax and their payroll, they still run things as if they are running, you know, a business that they should be formalizing and taking advantage of various opportunities. I mean, it was quite painful during COVID-19 when you realize that, you know, most of the small businesses, because of non-compliance, were disqualified from some of the benefits. So that passion during my enterprise development and coaching and mentorship, you know, propelled me to say, as much as I'm an all-rounder, as much as I'm a generalist in terms of leadership, in terms of making things happen. But this is one corner that I think one has to put his nails into to ensure that he's able to improve and add value and contribute to how our entrepreneurs can grow, you know, from that particular angle. So the business consulting side of this accounting side, we do mentorship, we do, you know, coaching, we do ESD implementation. I mean, last year, there was a company that was retrenching its employees, and we had to now come with an assessment tool to say, are these people ready for starting new businesses and going into, you know, the entrepreneurship league? And during the interviews, we even have to tap into some of them to give them a wake-up call that you have been retrenched, and getting another job may not be easy. So what other avenues are you going to use to continue taking care of your livelihood, you know, and encouraging them and things like that? So it's a faceted, you know, area. I remember one guy that I met later, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, then he said, when I met him, he just hugged me to say, "You're transformed my life." I said, "What?" He said, "No, they had offered me another job at head office. I refused." He said, "No, they have retrenched. Then I can help others to get jobs there, but he's now an entrepreneur." You know, I'm sure that he's able to achieve. He had very good, you know, ideas and already plans that he can be able to tap into. And he said, "You are locked, you know, and remove that fear from my life to say what will happen if I go into business." So those are some of the sweetness that you get in this particular journey, you know. So that is related to that, and also business improvement, you know, assistance to say, where are you, where you want to go, how do you go there, you know, what resources do you need to grow your business? Is it access to market? Is it access to funding? Is it leadership or management or resource, you know, building and things like that? So that's the first strategy.
So if I may summarize in terms of what you are all about, is you established a company to assist organizations with accounting and their books and compliance and all those, that is at the setup and operational and maintenance, right?
Yeah.
So existing businesses, small or big, could come to you to say, "We need you to assist us with our accounting work, our compliance stuff, and record keeping stuff," like any other management consulting company.
Yeah.
And then you also said that you are helping people in terms of enterprise development. So that is means if a person who might have been retrenched, or he is no longer enjoying their professional work in corporate, and they want to start a business, you could help them from scratch with the process of establishing enterprise.
No, definitely. But some of our approach, apart from individual approaches, is we approach these particular companies that are retrenching to say, "We know you are retrenching, but probably we have some fund and some social inclination to not just throw away your people. So how can we assist you to make their landing into the uncharted waters easy?" You know, in terms of
the context of the enterprise development leg of the Black Economic Empowerment.
Yeah. So we tap into enterprise and supply development and say, "Release funding. Let's see how we can assist you to ensure that as you're trying to now comply to BEE and improve your score, you are doing something real to transform lives of others, to ensure that they are able to stand on their own."
And you say that the skill of enterprise development you picked up during the time when you were working in enterprise development venture. Was that an incubator, or what was it, and which one is it?
Yes, it was an incubator, Shanduka Black Umbrellas. Journey started even during my other journey. I mean, when we were at NHBRC, we used to train, you know, black contractors to ensure that they want to professionalize, you know, their entities and, you know, their business. So that from my tender age with the BMF, going through my professional career, that spirit of saying we are because, you know, we have to build each other, and because of you and you are because of me, we have to be able to collaborate to see how we can be able to assist with each other. I mean, even when Mr. Zima met you at Gibbs, even during VET, you know, I would admire this professional to say things are possible, because the first time I met you, I was with my friend, Box, his soul rest in peace. Then I started to see you, but then it was more from a distance. Then one started to engage, you know, and when I had kids, you know, whilst I was doing my other postgraduate studies and things like that, you know, that spirit of empowerment. I mean, we used to go into Alexander through programs in Gibbs to help happen entrepreneurs. Later, even with Comeza, we did, you know, enterprise development in Alexander, and those, I mentioned the one when we were doing assisting that company that was retrenching through Siaka Consulting. So now, as an entrepreneur, we are kind of flexible when you see an opportunity. Mm. You know, to say then how do I tap into that, then how do I get to add value in whatever that is happening around us.
Absolutely, and I think this is good news for the people to know that there is an organization, Nkumabula Investment Holdings, that is there specifically to help those who are dreaming to become entrepreneurs so that they're not left alone. Now, having said that, are you national? Where is your office based?
Well, I migrate between Gauteng and Lephalale. Lephalale is my hometown. You know, as you grow older, you start saying, what value do I add to my people? So even in terms of Shanduka, I was based in Lephalale. Then, you know, assisting, you know, communities and interests from home to ensure that they are able to build their capacity, build their mindset, build their resolve to be entrepreneurs. And some of those relationships that I built then.
So they really invested, you know, in you and your
working family. And they are still able to call on me
from that.
You know, and therefore one has to formalize so that you can be able to now start saying, let's walk the journey together. And sometimes it should not just be informal coaching and mentorship. We should be able to say, then how do we structure something that we can work on your books? We can monitor performance of your, you know, business, where there are gaps. We can be able to identify things that needs to be improved upon, or, you know, capacities that you need to
But you
to
are
build.
Available to go anywhere in the country where the need is, as long as people...
We went to the Eastern Cape, PE, on one of the projects with my colleagues to try to capacitate. Also the same, to say TVET college students, we have got these technical skills. How can we change their mindset to be entrepreneurs? How can we change their mindset to not say, I mean, these guys have got artisan skills, meaning that if he's an electrician or, you know, a boiler maker or a plumber, it's so much business, you know, that they can help to ensure that they are able to survive. And, you know, list their businesses on databases of banks for repairs and things like that, and see how they can leverage, you know, things that are happening. I know unemployment is rough, and you know, we are all struggling as a country economy. But those small steps over time, and with that persistence and focus, you know, after 2 to 3 years, you could find yourself having created something that is sustainable that you can now take care of your family with.
Tell me, your company, are you the founder and the sole owner, managing director, or are you working with associates?
For now, I'm the founder and the CEO. The second strategic business unit that I'll talk to, you know, then I found a partner in that one, whereby we, you know, he's a technology license holder. So then I brought him on board to be able to ensure that this product that I was talking about, we can set up manufacturing and blending and distribution, you know, plant in Limpopo, Polokwane as a central place, because this product can assist in terms of water quality management in municipalities, in food production processes, in mining, and all those things. So noting that my partner, because I worked for this company before, I connived to convince them to say, let's go into this particular relationship, and we had to form an independent company. So they are focused on taking this product to Europe. I said, guys, you can't develop a product, you know, a biodegradable solution that can benefit our, you know, country and Africa and just take it to Europe. I want to be the face. I want to be the face and put up a plant here in South Africa, in Limpopo, where I know most of the mining activities are taking place. I mean, Limpopo is the next Gauteng, you know, whereby we're coming here for gold. There now is platinum and chrome in the Waterberg region, and needing clean water for your processes, for your cooling tower waters and your effluent plant. That can be able to improve on conductivity and liquidity, you know, of your water. Then you need something that is locally produced, developed, and distributed.
And have you been able to reach out to the mines already and the municipality? It sounds like the two big sectors of customers will probably be, as you say, that it's the mines. And of course, the municipalities, because they are the bulk water supplier or bulk water user.
No, we have reached those you know, entities, but you know, if you come with a new product, people are not, they don't want to be the first to try something new. So you have to harness that relationship. You have to work on changing that mindset. You have to work on convincing them to say, this is something that can benefit your operations. Certain companies already have taken, you know, a slice of the cake and they are seeing the benefits. But, you know, because of the tradition of using, you know, certain solutions for the past 50, 60 years, people forget that bacteria adapt to any new product that you use to try to eliminate them or reduce, you know, their impact in whatever environment that they live. So you cannot continue.
I hear you. I like your forward-looking approach of saying Limpopo is the next Gauteng. So that means yours is a long-term vision. I want us to come back to that and also talk about your real broader vision in the last episode when I come back in 2 minutes, right?
Okay.
So let's take a break and we'll be back.